Our scripture reading for this morning is Psalm 124. This is found in the Pew Bible on page 517. Psalm 124, beginning at verse 1. Listen to this. This is the word of God. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. And that is the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to attempt three things this morning. The first is, I've been thinking about those who have listened on the internet and have realized that they've not been aware of what our worship services have been like, and not aware that during the worship service, I have been, over the years, seasoning the service with some phrases that kind of summarize what the nature of the Christian life is all about. Phrases that have, some of them have become peculiar to me, others I've just borrowed from other worshipers. I'm going to collect them all together and work our way through the idea of the Christian life being reflected in the Christian worship service, in which you'll find these peculiar expressions that Drake has used over the years. Now, I think that what will happen in the future is nobody's going to remember much of what I preached about, but they're going to say things like this: hey, he was the guy who used to say, we pray this with confidence because we're praying in Jesus' name. Or he's the guy that said, behold, he is coming with the clouds. Things like that. That's what I mean by these little phrases that I've pulled together. That's one thing I want to accomplish. The other thing is, we are ordaining ruling elders, and I want to exhort them today about the Christian life and their leadership over the congregation. And the last thing is, I'm saying goodbye for a while. Three things. Can I do all of these things at once? Yes. Here, let's work our way through Christian worship and some of these expressions that have been used over the years. Here's how I usually start a worship service. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I got that from this psalm. Why do I say this is part of the Christian life? Because this, at the beginning of a worship service, is the grand declaration of dependence upon the living God. The Christian lives his life in dependence upon God. Ruling elders, assist the people of God not to be able to stand on their own. Assist the people of God in the recognition of their dependency. We are not a self-sufficient people. Remember, in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about that great continental divide. On one side, there will be people that say Jesus Christ has come into this world as the good teacher.
and a teacher cannot save you. We are on the other side. We say the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world as our Savior. Saviors can teach. He did not come to tell us what we can do in our own strength. He has come to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Our help is in the name of the Lord. This text in verse 8, when it's talking about help, it doesn't mean some assistance that we add. We're getting along fine, but now just a little bit more help will do. No. I think of that. That's the way I used to help when we had the Covenant Reformed moving crew. Sometimes we'd have to move pianos, and you'd get Gordon Miners at one end of the piano, and you'd get Joel Bells at the other end. And they'd practically pick these things up by themselves. And then there would be people like me who were along the side, and our hands were kind of out there, and just kind of walking along with them. And yet, well, thanks for the help, is what they would say to us. That's not the way God helps us. We could say it's like God's help is like he's carrying the other end of the piano. No, that's not even strong enough. Our help being from God is like the help of a parent when the not yet toddling child is trying to walk but does not have the strength in her legs and is holding on to the parent's hands. And the parent is holding on to that child, and now the child can walk. It is indispensable help. That's what it is declaring to us. Biblical help is, by the way, first used in the Bible to talk about women. I'll make the help meet for man. This woman in my life, Vicky, indispensable help. That's what God does for us. It says here in this psalm, if the Lord had not been on our side, see, they would have lost. That's the help that God gives. And notice this, our help is in the name. In the name of the Lord. Now we're talking about all of the character of who God is. It's in the very personhood of God. But if we just concentrated for a second on the idea of the name, we could say this. It's not just any God. It's not just any ultimate force. It's not just any general name for some deity. The living God is a particular being. He's a particular person. And he reveals himself as the one who has a name. And the name that he uses for his covenant people is that he is Yahweh. He is I Am. He is the living God, distinguished from all false gods. Our help, our indispensable help, is from the particular covenant God, the maker of heaven and earth. How do we read that without coming to this conclusion? All power belongs to him. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. If all the power in heaven and on earth will be available to the people of God, and then we are asking God for something and we don't get it, well, it could mean that we're asking for the wrong thing or we're asking for the right thing at the wrong time. But when we put our prayers and we put our worship within the context of his power, we do that so that nothing will interfere with our worship. We won't be able to say we are disappointed in you because we know the one with all power is going to work in behalf of his people. This kind of declaration of praise and of dependence upon God tackles every situation in life and pushes all the problems aside so that nothing will get in the way of worship. That's one thing we do. Worship service has captured for us what our Christian life is all about. Here's a second aspect of our Christian life as it's captured in the worship service. We usually do this when we're singing hymns. Singing hymns is about praise to God, but it is also about our encouragement of one another. The biblical language is that we are speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This has always amazed me that a worship service, which should focus on God, a worship service where God Himself has promised to be present, a worship service which is all devoted to Him, contains within it the mercy of God as He pushes attention away from Himself to us and to our brothers and sisters. In fact, He will go so far as to indicate He is truly worshipped when we take care of one another. So, as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. That truth is right there in the worship service. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. One of the beautiful things about the Psalms is that they remind us about what God has called us to do when we come together. We speak to God, the Psalms do. We speak to the angels. We speak to the world, even the unbelieving world. We speak to one another. We speak to our own hearts. There's content. We are addressing. We are speaking. We are teaching one another. And that's why we did it this morning. At the end of the first opening hymn, I've said to the people of God, and all God's people said, and you say back, amen. You know what that word means? It is the truth. We have spoken the truth to one another in the presence of God. That's part of the Christian life. Elders, assist us, please, as the people of God, in how we can encourage one another. Here's the third thing. In a worship service, it's also characteristic of the lives of the people of God. It is prayer. Christian lives her life in prayer. Elders, please. We need assistance in prayer. If I had it to do all over again, I think I would have emphasized this a lot more. You know, I fell into the trap that you fall into too. Huh? Well, you know that trap when we're talking to one another or trying to solve some problem and we think, if I can just come up with that right phrase, if I just get through the right argument, then I can bring about a change in somebody's life. No. The change we want in our lives and the change we want in other people's lives is a supernatural result. And you cannot get a supernatural result from a natural means. It takes supernatural means. And at the head of that is the prayer that the Spirit of God works within the people of God. This is what we've said about prayer. One of these little phrases. We pray this for our good and for your glory. Our good. This is another amazing thing about our God. Our God lets us ask Him for anything. But what He is concerned about is our good. And here is where we often run into opposition to the will of God. Because we think that our good concentrates on things which are physical and material and sometimes emotional, comfort. And we spend so much of our time talking to God about broken limbs and empty bank accounts, when God is interested in the real good that you can have even when the account is empty. And he identifies it as the fruit of the Spirit. He identifies it as character. Or Jesus simply says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. What is the good that God would have us pray for? It is that we would be conformed to the likeness of his Son in our righteousness and holiness of the truth. But we also said, we pray this for our good and for your glory. Now, we'll just think about this one for a moment. Is my prayer being motivated by the glory of God or by my own happiness? Or another way we could look at this is say, think about the times when you were dissatisfied with God. The times when you were unhappy with God because he wasn't coming through for you in some way. What were you saying? God, you haven't given me what I need to glorify you. No, he has. In fact, let us be so bold as to say this. God has given us what we need to glorify him, and he has taken away from us the stuff that gets in the way of glorifying him. He's always answering, and he's always working for our good and his glory. Under this heading of prayer, here's another thing we used to say, or we still say. We pray this with confidence because we're praying in Jesus' name. You know what that means? It means we come before him not in our own authority. We come in the name of Jesus, who said to his disciples, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. We come with the authority of the living Son of God himself, granting intimacy with the Father, as if he's talking to the resurrected Son himself. We're in union with Christ. We are in his name. And we pray in Christ. You see, that's why he's looking for our good. We come in his name. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The name. We're standing in that confidence before him. All right, here's the fourth topic. We've been talking about our declaration of dependence, our encouraging one another, our praying. We see those aspects of the Christian life in the worship service. And here we come to the Word of God, of course. Christian lives according to the Word of God. Elders assist the people of God in their grasp of the Word of God, that the Word of Christ may dwell within you richly. So, at the beginning, when we open up the Word, I usually say something like this. Listen to this. This is the Word of God. And what I've always meant by that was, get a load of this. Huh? This is different. Huh? This is not the kind of stuff you're going to hear from the world. And this is the stuff which is sufficient for you. That's all you really need to hear in your heart. In this grand covenant context is the Word of God. And I would say this. Let me just underline the word listen. It's no coincidence that both the Old and the New Testament put an emphasis on listening. Now, our catechism has captured this. Catechism written long after the invention of the printing press, nevertheless, when it's talking about the Word of God, will say this, especially the preaching. What? Not that the preacher is somehow, you know, more gifted intellectually than the people in the in the congregation. It's not that you couldn't read. Something happens. Something happens in the proclamation of the word that doesn't happen when you're reading it by yourself. I remember being in a worship service in Minneapolis, and a former professor of mine was preaching, and he began the worship service by quoting from Psalm 115, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory given." I had used that in calls to worship. I'd read that. But when he said it, something happened. And I realized what it was all about in a new way. The book of Revelation in the first chapter pronounces a blessing upon those who read out loud the word of God and those who listen. The listening in the assembly is pointing out again our covenant identity, which is reinforced as the Lord of the covenant is present with his people. Then at the end of the preaching, I usually say something like this, and that's one reason why we call this good news. I will forever be indebted to Joel Bells for pointing out a distinction. He said there's a difference between truth preaching and gospel preaching. And what I take that to mean is that there are many sermons which tell you the truth. And they may tell you about what you should be doing and who God is, how you have fallen short, or whatever the explanation is. I heard a sermon once about the office of the elder, and not once was Christ mentioned. Gospel preaching is the good news that we have been brought to Jesus Christ. I don't care how people get there in a sermon. I want us to get there, because without that, then there is no help in the name of the Lord. Now, Brian Chappell, when he was president of Covenant Seminary, used to say, a sermon that doesn't lead you to Christ is not just a non-Christian sermon. It's an anti-Christ sermon. You know why he can say that? Because the continental divide is teacher or savior. And if somebody just gives you a lot of information about what kind of person you should be, but doesn't take you to the one who will bring you into that goal of conformity to himself, that's what the world is all about. That's not our message. This is one reason why we call it good news. And as we look at the Bible, if we can't get good news out of it, then we haven't read enough. We haven't read far enough. We're not understanding the Scripture. If we don't get good news, then we haven't understood the full purpose of worship. When we come together, we can celebrate the creation of God, the wonders, the goodness of God. That's great. He deserves that praise. We can come together in an assembly and we can talk about our sin, creation, fall. We can talk about our need for improvement and how we need to work on this or repent of that and this. But we're not done until we can hear creation, fall, and redemption in Jesus Christ. And that takes me to the end. The benediction. The word benediction means good word. And so recently in the last year I've been saying this, and now before you can do anything to obey him, receive the benediction which comes from God. And many of you have wisely interpreted that as blessing precedes obedience. And you're right. Blessing comes to make obedience possible. Now think about this psalm that we read, where it says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If you back up a verse, it says something like this. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We have escaped. Well, that's one verb form of this root. Another way to translate it, you know, is we're delivered. This is the proclamation that is made in the prophet Joel. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, will be delivered, will escape from the condemnation of the law, will escape from the bonds of death. And that this image of the bird here fits with the root of the word, because it's kind of, you know, the way a bird will suddenly take off, and you know, you may think you've got it, and then suddenly it's gone. And the idea is Israel was held fast in the bonds of Egypt, and then came God and did something unexpected. And so Israel took off like a bird under the power of God. And here we are held in these bonds of sin and in the fear of death. And here comes our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and he does something unexpected. In the cross, Jesus Christ has nailed all of the transgressions against the Father, against the Son, against the Holy Spirit. He's nailed them to the cross to free us from condemnation. We, caught in the snare, have escaped because of the unexpected work of our God. Escaped even from death itself, because Jesus Christ has escaped from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Well, what else can you say about that kind of good news? Well, you can say this. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Something supernatural here. The resurrection from the dead. That great climax is not some kind of a kingdom we're going to build on earth. And when we have arrived at the perfection of our work, then we can turn and hand it over to the Father. This is the work of the Son of God. He will rule till he has subdued all of his enemies, and the last enemy to be conquered is death. And then he turns the kingdom over to God the Father. He's the one that is victorious. And that's what we celebrate every time we say this. This is not our kingdom. It is his. And he who began a good work is going to bring it to completion. Behold, he's coming upon the clouds. Beloved, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that's why we call this good news. Now, do you believe it? Amen. Amen. Come, let's believe this together. Oh, our Father God, we who are caught in the snare, we who did not have any help or hope, we are the ones who confess now, you are the deliverer. You provide the means of escape. It is not within us. You're the one who brings deliverance to your people. You're the one who will bring us to yourself. Now we praise you for this, and we ask now for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon us, that we, in response to your grace, may live out our union with Christ in the ways that will be pleasing to you. And may our lives be lives of dependence, encouragement, prayer, living by the Word under the benediction of God. This is what we ask. And we dare to ask this with confidence, because we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen.